fearless driver of the roaring car is an American folk hero. In NASCAR, stock cars look like the ones you can buy, and champion Jeff Gordon just might be you.
Is Jeff going to make it? Here he comes off the fourth corner. He is going to make it. Jeff Gordon wins the Trans-South Financial 400, his second consecutive victory at Darlington.
But take the driver out of the car, and the automobile is suddenly just auto.
This is what it would be like behind the wheel of a self-driving car. Sitting just as you are, your hands are not on the wheel, your feet are not on the pedals, and your eyes don't even have to be on the road. The future of the automobile.
Is the driving skill of a Jeff Gordon, or even you, something programmable into a computer-driven car? Well, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration told Google that computers now qualify as drivers. And Mercedes-Benz and a host of other manufacturers have taken one more step toward the fully driverless car. Rebecca Lindland is a senior analyst at Kelley Blue Book. Rebecca, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having me on, John.
So does a computer take a driver's test like you and I did when we were in high school?
Well, I hope the computer does better than I did, but yeah, it's a brave new world for sure when it comes to autonomous vehicles and how we get around. And, you know, it's really exciting. There's a lot of progress. There's a long way to go, but there's a lot of progress.
Certainly the density of the roads in urban areas in America and the ease of driving on the interstates argue for something that's more automatic, because the time is wasted driving. Do you think the technology is ready to deal with the infrastructure that we have out there, or would it be safer to really go for something more like a light rail?
Well, in theory, on paper, a light rail would be a great solution, but we've tried that. You know, we've had the rail system for centuries. And it's the thing that the autonomous vehicle does is it combines convenience and privacy with free time, which, you know, a train or a bus arguably does not. You know, it's all about having that privacy.
What does this mean for the personal ownership idea of a car and all of the mystique that comes from being a driver and aspiring to be, you know, a Jeff Gordon kind of NASCAR, muscle car driver?
It's an interesting, complex problem because I understand the desire for that, you know, rev in the belly. I mean, there's nothing more than I like than a great torque and controlling the vehicle myself. I mean, I just moved from Saudi Arabia where I wasn't allowed to drive and I was being driven around by somebody and it was unbelievably frustrating at times. So there is definitely a change in the mindset that will need to happen to adapt to driverless and autonomous vehicles.
Is the technology here within the vehicle itself, or does it more involve the idea that there's going to have to be a broad system of controlling and monitoring all these vehicles together? Because I'm getting the idea that autonomous driving cars and human drivers are probably not going to mix on the same roads together.
Well, they will have to at some point, but this is one of the significant challenges. You know, a couple of years ago, there was a news report that showed a Mercedes-Benz going about 30 miles an hour on the entrance ramp to a highway because that was the speed limit. And there was this huge long line of cars behind it because nobody goes 30 miles an hour on the speed, entrance ramp. So there's this issue of combining, you know, traditional driving cars with autonomous vehicles. Certainly when we get to the point where we've retired out all of the traditional vehicles, it'll be an incredibly efficient system, but we are decades away from that for sure.
Do you think that in the end, there will be a place for the driverless car and a place for where people want to, you know, take out their Porsches and drive, you know, on Highway 1 in San Francisco, that those two experiences will coexist in some way?
Well, they would have to be in different vehicles, because after the Google rule, the NHTSA ruling about Google recently, we're looking at cars that don't even have steering wheels or brake pedals. So it's not going to be a situation where, you know, you can go on autopilot like in a plane. Most of the vehicles will not have those kinds of accoutrements. I mean, they're not going to have things like a steering wheel and a brake pedal. So drivers will not have the option of taking over. So it'll be more like a train car, if you will.
Will the hobbyists keep their Porsches in the garage and be able to take them out at some point?
I know. What will Jerry Seinfeld drive around in, right?
Yeah, no kidding. He's already started auctioning off some of his vehicles. Maybe he's anticipating that this is happening.
Maybe he knows something we don't know.
Exactly. Does that mean that everyone sues Google if there's a car accident?
Well, again, this one of the benefits of autonomous vehicles is, in theory, they don't crash. You know, they sense objects on the road. It's machine learning, which is a really different form of a typical. It's not an automated vehicle; it's an autonomous vehicle. So these vehicles learn, and so, you know, one of the benefits is that there won't be car crashes. There won't be these kinds of things that we deal with now.
Oh, that we should live so long to see how that's going to work out, Rebecca.
Absolutely.
50 years from now, we will see what the unintended consequences are of the driverless cars. But certainly, as you say, it is something that is, you know, that has a role. The idea that the computer has now been green-lighted to drive is a big step forward. Rebecca Lindland, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Rebecca Lindland is a senior analyst at Kelley Blue Book. But what do you think? What is America's greatest innovation? You can head over to thetakeaway.org/innovation and cast your vote for the sewing machine, the cell phone, GPS. Better yet, you can nominate an innovation of your own. Just make sure it's an American one, please.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.